Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. It once again, I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Tammy Schopstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. I'm also a survivor of child abuse. If you'd like to participate in the show, I certainly need some callers. The number is 646-52118. That's 646-595-2118. Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions. If you'd like to contribute to NASCA, we would certainly appreciate it, and it is tax deductible if you choose to do so. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially as getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, and we present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Tonight's show, we do have a guest that is scheduled to come on. Her name is Niecy Hamilton. She's from Houston, Texas. And she was born to an adolescent mother who herself had been sexually trafficked and extended family members from the age of 11 to 13. So our special guest is not here tonight. Hopefully she will be here soon. In the meantime, if anyone would like to call in, I would appreciate it. I think Carol may be calling in. So thank you, Carol. Until the guest gets here, we can discuss any issues that anyone wants to discuss. I'm going to go through the NASCA website for just a little bit and tell you a little bit about NASCA, a little bit more about NASCA. If you go to www.nasca.org, you can pull up our website, and there's a wealth of information in there that can help everyone. We've got NASCA programs, recovery groups. We've got news and articles. We've got some self-help all about recovery, and we've got some information on protecting our children, and we've got some information on our participants in NASCA as well. So it is a good tool, a lot of information on there, so please visit our website. So Carol has called in tonight. Let me open her mic. Ma'am. Carol is calling in from New Jersey. Thank you so much, Carol, for calling in. I really appreciate it. Hopefully some other folks will call in and our special guests will call in. But if not, you and I, we're talkers, so we just get the talking going. How are you? I know that you've got a lot going on in your life, and I'm really grateful for you calling in tonight. I know that your son's had surgery and you're scheduled for surgery, so... Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I might act a little loopy. But I always like movie anyway.
I wouldn't notice. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I'm always loopy. Who cares? I don't. I have fun. But anyway.
Yeah. You have to have fun in life.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know, I always tell people when they call me all weird kinds of hours. I try, if I can get off the phone and have them laugh a few times, I feel like I've done my job. Because people are so depressed right now with because of everything that's going on in the world and everything. Why wouldn't they be, okay? But we have to learn how to handle our depression, because those of us who are prone to be, you know, depressed, that can be a bad thing, you know. So, you know, I was talking to someone, what was it, not last night, the night before, and they're really, really depressed, crying depressed. And people, you know, out there, you have to realize, yes, we were, you know, we're survivors now, but we were victims, but we have to move on in the sense, not that we forget what happened. You never forget that. But we have to look forward to try and find some happiness somewhere. Because if we don't, okay, or if you don't, you know, you're just not going to move forward and be a happy person, and you're not going to become maybe who you were meant to be. It's as simple as that. And that's a terrible thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, depression is something that a lot of us survivors have to deal with, because, you know, life itself, you know, we can have normies who can get depressed. Life happens. But a lot of times with our survivors, it's even tougher because, you know, we have the everyday life that everybody has, and then we've got this, you know, this cloud overhead. But, you know, through my healing process, I have realized that I don't have to live under that cloud. But that came with some time and some healing and some experience as well.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we have to remember as survivors is we are worthy of love. We don't have to accept how people try to define us. We are capable of defining ourselves. We can crack our own path. And, you know, we don't have to, I don't have to accept, you know, I don't accept it. There was a time I did, but I've had to learn to love myself and, you know, respect myself and take up, you know, stand up for myself. How about you, Carol?
Well, you know what? We don't have to accept what happened to us, okay? In the sense, now I mean this in a sense, what happened to us was not acceptable, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we fight so hard on NASCA, and there are other shows, too, that fight hard to bring forth information, you know, information to the public, the society, and to show people that, you know, it's time for us to move forward and even helping each other. If you know of someone that's being, you know, physically, sexually, emotionally abused, and you just turn your head and walk the other way because maybe they're afraid of retaliation, or maybe they're afraid of, or they just don't want to get involved, Tammy, okay? They don't want to get involved. We could be a child's hero. I've been saying that. I have a phone call coming in. I'm going to ignore it. Don't move. Oh, for heaven's sake, it's Bill. he doesn't realize I'm on the show with you. But, you know, that's funny. But anyway, okay, so the deal is this. You know, as long as we live in a society, and I know everyone is, like, you know, they're so filled with fear and all this other stuff. You and I can't talk politics the way we'd love to. But, you know, we live in a bad world right now. So people a lot of times aren't even thinking about child abuse. They're thinking about, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen 5 months from now. And, in fact, I'm going to turn him off. I'm sitting in my living room. Hold on. Shut up. I don't want to look at you. But, you know, come on now. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible what's going on. And it didn't have to be, Tammy. Everything was fine before, and now I'll keep my mouth shut, okay, on that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it speaks for itself, and if people have any common sense, they know what I'm talking about. All right. So, but still in rural, it's a very hectic world where we're going out. Our gas prices are so high. You go into, which keeps some people home because they can't afford. You know, if they have to fill their car up, instead of filling their car up, they stay home because maybe they need to buy food too. Okay, whatever. Whatever the case might be. So child abuse is something that a lot of people are not thinking about. They're thinking about just getting from one day to another. However, what I'm trying to get across here is the stress level is so high, and for good reasons. All right, you take the mom and pop shops. You know, they're if they're not gone already, they're going to be gone again because of the minimum wage. Yes, we needed a little hike in minimum wage. Absolutely, what was it, $8 or something an hour? People can't live on that. But you can't live on giving $15 an hour or $17 an hour either. So the little shops, they disappear, all right? They just simply can't handle it. So there's a lot of stress at home. People are losing the jobs that they had, and they're losing a lot of them are just starting to feel helpless and hopeless. And what happens is they get into the depressed mode. If they're not don't have a depressive personality, they're starting to get one because of doom and gloom that's around them. Okay, so how do we fix this? What's the solution? It's very hard making a solution for something when it's so out of our hands. But we have to realize, as survivors, that we have to look at ourselves, take one day at a time. Not sounding like AA, but I use that because it's so true, one day at a time, and do the best that we can to find something good, something funny in our world, okay? I tell people to start, you know, if you have the channel on your TV where you can go back to the, I don't know, 60s and watch those silly programs we used to watch. I love them, the I Love Lucy's and all this other stuff. They're so funny. And you try to get some joy in your life because we're not going to have joy the minute we walk out the door. We have too many things.
Right.
Too many
right.
things that we have to worry about. So those who are very depressed, go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Let me stop you right there because Bill has joined us. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm looking for Niecy's phone number so I can contact her, find out why she's not here.
Mm. Okay.
But,
okay.
Carol, you
well, I appreciate
right?
you, too.
No, we're good.
We're good.
Yeah, we're
okay.
good. Don't
did
worry
she
about
did
it.
She cancel? Did she cancel?
Not
I guess
me.
Did she reach out
I'm
to us and
Carol. Carol calls all the guests.
Yeah, I do. And quite
and
frankly,
so,
I sent her an email. I'm not in my office right
yeah.
now, Bill. I'm lying on the couch because of my arm. And I do have a funny pill in me, so if I act a little funnier than usual, oh, well. But anyway, the point is this. I do write them. Many times I do call them and, you know, alongside with writing them. I do both. You know, I email them and call them. Now, I did not call yeah. her, but she never, you know, I'm not too worried because she has, I believe she's been on the show before. Has she not?
Of course. They all
yeah.
have, but there's people missing the show. Regularly.
I know. I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
So
we've all been here before. Yeah.
I know. That's what I figured. So, you know, if she shows, fine. If she doesn't show, don't worry about it because there's always so much to talk about. It's as simple as that. I ran a show the other night with just one person. I mean, the guest, that was it. It was she and I. And it was a good show. So, look, we're survivors. We've been through it all. Who better than survivors to teach other people who are listening, if they don't already know, about child abuse than we, the survivors? So I don't have a reason or, you know, I can't tell you why she's not here. I thought she would be, to be honest.
She might be here because we just had somebody pop in. It's an
okay.
area code 504. Area code 504, who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Hi, this is John Anderson.
There you
hey,
go.
John Anderson.
How
okay.
are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing good. Doing really good. I y'all were expecting a guest tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. I just dialed.
Yeah.
I'm not at home. Okay. So what are y'all talking
I appreciate
about
right all. Right now, we're just getting started. Our guest, for whatever reason, is not here. Hopefully something, you know, hopefully she'll come in or maybe something happened. I don't know. But we do have Carol from New Jersey, Bill from California, John now is from Louisiana, and I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida. So I really appreciate the support, guys. I thought I was going to be talking to myself there for a minute, so I appreciate you guys coming in to support. We talked a little bit about depression, but I do want to take it back to the topic at hand. You know, and one of the things that we talked about in reference to depression is, you know, a lot of us survivors do endure that. You know, we have the regular, you know, stresses of the day and depressions like normal people, but we also have other, you know, stresses on us as well. But it doesn't have to be that way. So, you know, what I guess the question that I'm going to ask the group, if you guys don't mind, is, you know, for people who are listening, we know people stream in. You know, what advice as, you know, as survivors who have been on our path for a little while, well, you know, if a newcomer came to us and said, you know, I can't beat this depression, what advice could we give them? You know, and I guess what I've came up with is you got to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to love the person looking back at you in the mirror and give yourself a break. If anybody has, you know, any comments to make on that, or if you have one, you know, we want to go through that and then come up with another topic, that's cool too. So I'm going to leave it to the group. What do you guys think?
Okay. One thing I want to say here, always ask a person, you know, if you get a call. Okay, we do have the contact list, all right, and this is what I use this quite a bit. First of all, you ask if they have a therapist. Depression isn't anything to fool around with, okay, and quite frankly, they need a therapist or someone like that. To help them during this time of depression. Sometimes they need meds, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they need someone to talk to. And like I said before, if I get them to laugh several times throughout the conversation, I might be on the phone with them for an hour and a half, then I feel like I've done my job because they're in a better spirit, they're in a better mindset. However, that's not going to last. So I always ask them, do you have a therapist? When I tell them about the programs, I get back to the website. I heard you talking a little bit about the website, and and I explain how the programs work. And what people don't realize is because they don't have signs outside advertising that they're there, of course, you know, there's programs many times very close to your home, if not in your, you know, your town, nearby, okay? And it's for survivors like us, you know, who have gone through all different kinds of things. And that starts helping people. They find a program that they like. They go to it, and they've got help instantaneously, and they don't feel as bad, and they don't feel alone, see? That's a biggie for people who are going through depression, is to get them out of that state of mind where they feel so alone. If they join a program, or if they call NASCA, we can help them. I'm the night owl. I'm the contact person for the night owl because I do stay up all night. I'm used to it. So, you know, I work the graveyard shift a lot, so it doesn't bother me any. So if people, you know, give me a call, I can help them maybe. If I can't, I certainly do suggest that they get a therapist. So that's my answer to that. And during these days of horror, if you will, which brings out even more problems that we might have, you know, even as survivors.
Right.
You know, we need to get the help that we need. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I've never been to a therapist, so I got that therapists can help some people, but I'm a firm believer that there are other
sure.
I guess because I'm someone who has battled, you know, depression and, you know, being a survivor, and I've never been to a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, you know, if somebody does, because Carol's right, you know, a therapist, if you get the right one, can help. But there's other things as well. You know, there's, you know, us at NASCA, you know, we're a support group. So
mm-hmm.
we can help, get a support system set up, you know, a friend or, you know, someone that you can trust. But that's my thoughts. What do you think, Bill and John? Any thoughts?
Well, yeah, I have a lot. If you want to let Bill speak.
Go ahead. Either one of them, Bill.
I have a short answer here, and I'll give it to John. My short answer is I tell them that I understand why they and how they feel,
mm-hmm.
That I felt that way once too, that it's not surprising because this is the natural path that people who experienced trauma in their youth have in their adulthood, and that there are lots of things they can do about it. They're not alone, and that NASCA is a group that will be happy to help them in any way they want, and everything we do is free.
Mm-hmm.
And then I shut up, and I see what they say, and I answer their questions, but I don't interrogate them. I don't lead them. I leave it open. I just want to hear what they say, and they may say, oh, I've tried that before and it's no good. I go, okay, you know. But a lot of them don't know about, for example, NASCA. They don't know about NASCA. They just found it or what it's about. And many of them are very grateful when I, you know, welcome them to the group and so forth. So, yeah. That would be my answer. I'll give it to John.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. That's some good advice.
Sure.
John, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, that's always a sensitive subject, okay, to talk about. And I deal with this every single day of my life, okay, not just the fact that through serious stages of depression, but also helping other people get through that stage, you know. And I believe that any time that a person is depressed, okay, you have to find common ground with them, okay, because more than likely they have a serious issue with one main thing, and that's trust, okay? I have seen people go to as many as 10 therapists in their lifetime before they found that one. And to me, that's a true thing right there, because you don't want to tell your story over and over again. You know, how traumatizing is that? You know, so that's what NASCA has to offer right there. Okay, the platforms are unlimited as far as I'm concerned. Because of the fact that we have every type and every single person that's involved with this family is experienced and has many, many years of experience, okay? With that is that you all know that doctors are everything for people, okay? They do specialize in certain areas, and they offer medications and things like that. However, when you have a family that has gone through every type of abuse, okay, since we've been children, all the way through adulthood, that, you know, you have to give us a chance. Because when you're reaching out and you haven't found that right person for you yet, you're going to find it through NASCA one way or another. There's no question in my mind, you know, because I have been through this for 45 years. And that, to me, is more or less my specialty, is to helping these victims come out and at least come out of isolation, okay? Because that, to me, is a major, major setback with people until they start opening up, you know. And how do they open up, okay? We have to, you know, find out what it's going to take to get that person to that next step. It's sensitive. You know, a lot of people don't want to tell the stories up front, which I don't blame them, but it takes time, you know. So getting to know that person, first off, in a, you know, friendly and professional way, and really listen to them, you know. Don't cut them off when they're talking. You know, let them come out with everything, because one thing is going to lead to another. And that's what it's all about, you know. So a lot of times I've seen people, you know, come out of a dark, dark, deep depression when you know, they could have done it years ago because they just didn't know the right people. And that's what I think NASC is all about, you know. So I'm going to leave it at that because I could go on for hours with this particular subject.
Yeah.
And I hope y'all understand where I'm coming from, because without knowing of being a person that's depressed or somebody that was sexually abused, which leads to a lot of this, you know, we are experienced at it. And we know what direction to take people in and to help them, you know, and guide them in the right way. And if that doesn't work, we always have somebody else, you know. And I would keep it at a very, you know, tight-knit, you know, type thing when it comes to this, because, you know, you don't want, in my opinion at first, a lot of people involved with this particular step in their life just because of the fact that once they do get to that stage where they're ready to open up and have other people around them, that they realize that they're not alone in this dark place that they're living, and we can work together and come out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's my opinion on it and my thoughts on it. I live through this every single day with people around the world. And like Carol, I know she's up late at night. I'm up a lot of times till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. You know, we have people all over the world with NASCA, Australia, New Zealand, you know, it goes on and on and on. And Africa, you know, I mean, come on, you know, there are people reaching out to us right now, and we definitely need to, you know, stay on our toes and be educated on how to handle each particular situation. So
that's, right.
That's all I have to say.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, that says a lot. That says a lot. Carol, you want to go back to you? I think you started this. Carol, what are your thoughts on what you heard?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I agree with him. Because, you see, when people call, and especially in the a.m. hours, I mean, I get it sometimes before the a.m. hours, but in the a.m. hours, they are really in stress, okay? They're in stress level, heavy-duty stress level. And they do need someone to bring them down, if you will. Sometimes they're agitated, and other times they're just so... remorse acting. You don't know how, you know, what, how they're going to be until you start talking to them. The first thing that we have to do is to let them know, yes, that they're not alone, and that, you know, most of us, I can't say all of us, you know, have gone through depression. I certainly did. And we get into other topics, you know, as far as how the depression affects them. Okay, I don't talk about myself. I talk about them first. And then I can use a little bit of my background, you know, and put it in there and to help them. So, you know, but I always do, though, just to, for safety's sake, first of all, it's good to know, you know, like the hotline number, okay, in your area, the hotline number. And, you know, to have them call. If they really feel like they're going to, you know, commit suicide. I had one night where I got them to go to the hospital right on the phone. I called 911. I put my cell phone right next to my regular phone, my landline, and told them I have to just change rooms. That's what I told them. And I called 911 quickly. I had their area code. It showed up on my phone. And before you know it, police was there. They were there. And because this person I felt was a very possible risk to themselves. And but if you can, you know, reach out, you know, to NASCA or other groups, you'll find out that many of us have been so depressed in our lives that we did want to commit suicide. Now, I had run a show the other night, and I'm looking for my notes, and I don't have them in front of me right now. But I had 1 in 10 people who are depressed. I do remember saying that. 1 in 10 people, especially during these days, will actually try to commit suicide. 1 in 10 who are very depressed. Those are usually those who are going through clinical depression. And that is one of the highest levels of depression. I was told that I was clinically depressed. So I can relate to that. Now, what we want to do is when people call, this is why I say get a therapist, get a therapist, get a therapist. I had social workers and counselors working with me. And it's a good thing that I did, because I had tried already to commit suicide when I was 17. And I didn't want to commit suicide. I have two children. I adore my children. But a person who is clinically depressed feels helpless, hopeless. They have been told all their life that they're worthless people. They're never going to amount to anything. And all these other negativity type of wording. And when you're a child, especially, you learn to agree with that and believe it, because it's coming from people who are supposed to be, you know, nurturing you. Instead of nurturing you, they're badgering you and pulling you down. And then if you don't get help, then that can easily lead into teenage years and adult life. So that's why depression is something that really has to be looked at. At one time, the psychiatrist, you know, and even the DSM, that book that we had, it mentions, you know, they thought, well, if people are talking about suicide all the time, okay, forget about it. They're just looking for attention. But then what happened? Too many people committed suicide. So now they're saying that if there's anything that if a person is speaking about it, you look at it, you talk to them, and you get them the proper help, because they may mean it, okay? So it's something that is a very touchy subject. And so I handle it very delicately when people are depressed, because I know what it can turn into. So that's just a little advice. But, you know, depression is something that we all, many of us, I can't say all of us, many of us go through, who have been sexually abused, physically, mentally, emotionally neglected, all the abuses, or even just one. It's trauma. And as long as we have trauma in our lives, like a lot of women right now, this is something they're zeroing in on very heavily. Women are staying with abusive husbands. I did that. And a lot of times there's reasons why we do that. And because we do feel so unworthy, we feel like we have nothing to offer anyone or ourselves. And a lot of times it's, you know, they don't have enough money. Maybe they don't have enough skills. And there's women out there that don't have enough skills where they can get a good job, you know, to support their children, say, if they do leave. In cases like that, and I've gotten a lot of phone calls from women, too. I like it when the men call me, because men can be very depressed, too. But I always tell them to have a safety package. And I'm going to mention that tonight, because you see, it was mentioned the other night, I think it was from Lori Golden, or that would be a couple weeks ago now, the suicide rate has skyrocketed. And I already had that information in front of me. Children from ages 12 up, people from ages 12 up are committing suicide. And I blame it, of course, on a lot of the world around us, a lot of things that are happening, maybe lack of proper help, too, maybe environmental in our own homes. There's so many things that could, you know, be causing this. But the point is, when you have children at the age of 12 starting to commit suicide, by God, what kind of a world do we live in, okay? Now, if you're a woman that's living in a relationship, whether you're married or you're not married, and you're being abused and all this other stuff, for God's sake, have a safety package. And I did that. I actually did that, and I used it once. What do I mean by a safety package? I had a duplicate driver's license, all my important papers about me. I had copies made. And as much as I could, as often as I could, I would put money, okay, into this big envelope that I had that I had hidden. I also had duplicate keys made. At that time, we only had one car. And so I feel, well, I don't have the keys in my possession, that was for sure. So I'm going to have duplicates made. So when that person was sleeping, I'm not going to say which husband it was, when that person who was sleeping, I simply went and had copies for the house, and also, too, you know, had duplicate keys made and for the car. One night it was very, very bad, and I decided I'm going to run. And that's exactly what I did. Now, I didn't want that information in the house because I was afraid that if it was found, I would be in big, bad trouble by the big, bad wolf, okay? We'll put it that way. So there was a loose shingle on the outside of my house, and it was a type of shingle when they first started coming out. They were metal, the metal shingles, whatever you call them. But it wasn't so loose that if I put this envelope in there, that it would fall to the ground. I made sure of that. So I just simply very quietly walked out the back door, went over to the shingle. I knew right where it was, of course, took it, and left. So what do you do after you leave? You have two choices. If you have a family you can go to, fine, or a good friend, fine. Or you can go certainly to a shelter. The shelters today are much better than when they were years ago when I actually used it. And I did speak about that on this show, and the person who was the guest speaker did agree with that. Because at that time, if you ran with your children, say, or alone, whatever, the point, you were moved constantly from shelter to shelter to shelter, whatever they use for a shelter. It could be a church, whatever, or shelters themselves. Houses, and certainly they have no names outside because they try to keep it very, very private. You might have a spouse that figures you went to the shelter, he goes to the shelter, and forget about it. It can cause a lot of problems. So today, everything is much more improved. You can go to a shelter, and you can get help, okay, the help that you need. They have counselors there, and they'll work with you. If you're a person that, say you didn't graduate high school, all right, you came from such a dysfunctional home that you didn't graduate from high school and you didn't get your GED, they help you get your GED, all right? Everything is different now in the shelters. So I have no problem telling women to go to shelters. Studies have been done on the ratio of men and female. I'll say this and then I'll shut up.
Okay.
The women, yes, they're usually the ones that are being beaten and they're the victims, if you will, of the situation. But however, now they're finding out that women can certainly hit the men too, you know. So they're finding out more as studies go along. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that show not too long ago. We had our guest speaker was I think it was. The last month because it was Domestic Violence Prevention Month or something like that, and we got into a lengthy conversation. But I do agree with you. You know, I'm a survivor of child abuse, but I'm also a survivor of domestic abuse as well. And it's not as easy as you think. And, you know, sometimes there's shelters out there and sometimes there's not. You know, I had a dead end. You know, my ex-husband, you know, he held money from me. You know, he's very controlling. I went home to my family. You know, I'd wear out my welcome after about 2 or 3 days because it was the same abusive environment that I grew up in. And after 2 or 3 days, you know, I'd go home. It was the less of two evils, you know. I just, you know, and then you got somebody, oh, I'm sorry, it'll never happen again, and, you know, you want to believe in them, and then you're trapped. You feel trapped. Mm-hmm. A lot of times us survivors of domestic abuse, you know, are survivors of child abuse because we don't know how to choose healthy relationships.
That's
another thing that I would tell people is, you know, once you learn to love yourself, and I think that's a big part of it. You know, a lot of people, you can go to all the therapists in the world, but if you don't learn to love and value yourself, no therapist is going to help you. I truly believe it that's one of the biggest struggles that survivors have because, like, oh, you're no good, you're worthless, you know, whatever. Or if, you know, if you're sexually abused in the aspect of you're my special, you're special, you know, then they blame themselves, you know, or they become narcissistic. A lot of times, you know, that's where narcissism comes from because they've been told, you know, through, you know, because of manipulation of a pedophile, you're special, you know. That's why, you know, we have this special relationship because you're better. Blah, 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 blah. But anyway, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, I truly believe in my heart that we have to learn to love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us hate ourselves. You know, we hate who we are. We hate ourselves because we feel guilty, or we haven't forgiven ourselves for our own sins, or our own part of it, or you know, our own bad behavior after it happened to us. But we have to, you know, we have to do that and make sure that, you know, we build from there. And it's not easy. It's not easy. I struggle with it every day, every day, every day. We did lose Bill, so I'm not sure if he's going to call back in. But, John, I wanted to give you an opportunity to share as well, and I'm very grateful for Bill calling in and you two calling in as well. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here by myself. So, John, what do you think? We have an echo a little bit.
I don't know.
Are you ready, John?
I don't know if he is or not. All right, let me say something. I don't know. There's something going on there. But anyway, let me respond to that, okay? Because you and I can handle this.
Sure.
And it's okay to maybe not agree about certain things, and that's fine. But because I have worked in the field, okay, with psychiatry and all this other stuff, I've caught 4 people trying to commit suicide. What an awful thing that was. 2 at detention and 2 at Greystone Psychiatric, because we were trained. All right, we were trained. Now, one thing, and I will go down the list a little bit that people can look for, okay? But getting back to what you were saying, Tammy, I never tell people not to, you know, look for a therapist, okay? First, I tell them about the programs that we offer because it is free. Although I have noticed looking at the list, there's maybe a $50 fee or something like that, but that's still so much less than what you'd pay, especially if you don't have insurance, all right? So I still, you know, advocate, you know, about our programs that we do offer, that we have a list of now. Bill and what's her name, of course, over in the UK? Carolyn. Yeah, Carolyn. They put that list together, and they did a fine job as far as the programs are concerned, okay? And I had 2 men not too long ago, and both of them were from the same area of South Jersey, and they found a program, and they both liked it. Sometimes you have a choice of maybe 2 or 3 programs that you can go to. So that's very good. And, you know, so I always stress to people to look at that, the programs. And then, of course, they can always call us here because we have been through the ringer, haven't we? Okay, that's for certain. One thing I want to get across to people, too, is since we are speaking about depression, what are the signs, okay? When a child, I'll use detention, this one girl was being picked on horribly by the other girls. Now, detention is separated, you know, girls on one side and boys on the other. And we had police officers that worked there because it was a lockdown facility. They had committed adult crimes. Now, this one girl, though, she had gone from being a certain type of personality, and then all of a sudden she became too calm, too calm. And she came from a horrific background. Her mother passed away, and her father was a nut. Candy. He was a nut, okay. She wasn't sexually abused by him or anyone in the family. It was more emotional abuse with her, okay, and physical. But the point is that I didn't like that change in her attitude, so I certainly went and told someone about it. I told the director, I had to, that I saw a change in the behavior of this girl. Now, she was almost ready to age out. She was one of the older girls. But my God, were they picking on her. And that's enough to depress anyone, okay? So, but anyway, all of a sudden, she was a very good artist, and she made a picture of a horse for me. It was a beautiful horse. What a picture she made. And she gave that to me. And, you know, when you go into any facility, just about your belongings are taken away from you. Also, too, they look to see if you have to have it. You have to have that, you know, they make sure you're not carrying drugs. And then they look in your mouth. They look other places on your body. They do a physical exam. The nurses do that, okay, to make sure that you aren't, you know, bringing drugs into the facility. And we'll let other stuff. Now, with this girl, we allowed for her to draw because that was one thing she could do well. But she became too quiet. She gave me this beautiful drawing, and then she just went to her cell. Those kids didn't have rooms, honey. They had cells. And I noticed that she just sat there, and she was talking to herself. She was very close to her mother, very close to her mother. And her mother, of course, had passed away, like I said. She decided in her little girl mind, when you're 17 years old, you're not very old, and almost 18, but she decided she wanted to be with her mother. So she was going to commit suicide. Now, this is one girl that didn't speak about it, didn't talk about it, nothing. Now, county and state sheets are very, very thin, very thin. And what she had done was she took the sheet and she tore a strip. She was able to tear a strip, you know, about half an inch, I guess, in width, and pretty long. And she wrapped it around her neck. And I had a terrible feeling, terrible feeling. I worked the 7 to 3. Believe it or not, I was working the 7 to 3 at one time. All right? I know. That was the only job I think I worked the 7 to 3. But anyway, and it almost killed me, all right? But anyway, the point is, I went in at 5:45. Instead of 6:45 to punch in, I went in at 5:45. Now, I'm not even covered by insurance if something happens because I'm not supposed to be there. But they let me in, the night shift let me in, and I went immediately to her cell, and sure enough, she was purple, okay? So I'm screaming, and the nurses came, they had a special scissor, and they were able, just so it doesn't cut you, it's a special scissor, and they were able to get that off of her neck. Now, because I was the one, I had to write up the incident report, of course, and I went with the van driver, and she was put in a place like Greystone, but not as bad, all right? She stayed there for about 2 or 3 weeks. In the meantime, she aged out. Well, she was gone. I find out later on, this girl had gotten pregnant, and she tried to kill herself again, okay? She wasn't in any institution. She was living with someone. So when you have a depressed nature like that, okay, and you come from a horrific background, hers was more physical. She was being beaten all the time. You know, when it comes from something like that and you have that type of depressed nature about you, if you do it once, you're going to do it again unless you get help. The person has to understand child abuse, the therapist you go to. If you're going to do it, go that route, if you're going to. They have to understand how we feel. It'd be nice if there were survivors themselves, wouldn't it be? Some are, but most of them aren't.
Well, I appreciate your story and what you're sharing with us and what you did for this young lady. Like you said, there are different levels of depression.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely got to echo. There are different levels. Now, if someone is suicidal, absolutely, we want to get them the help. We can only do so much to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've
that's
dealt with some.
Yeah,
I've dealt with some suicide. I've dealt with someone reaching out to me who was on the verge of suicide, and that's a scary feeling. This is a person. They're, you know, I don't want to mention their name, but they are in the NASCA mm-hmm. family. They're not, you know, active, but mm-hmm. they are in the NASCA family. And mm-hmm. she was able. And this is, I mean, she's dirt poor. You know, lives in West Virginia, dirt poor. You know, to tell her to go to a therapist is pretty much, you know, basically saying you're on your own. You know, because a lot of people can't afford it. I mean, it works for some people. If somebody is, you know, it's not a bad idea to say, hey, do you have a therapist? But like I said, with some people that are dirt poor
or they're being abused, you know, that may not be an option for them. You know, there are other venues out there. But, you know, and I agree. I mean, if sometimes therapists, I guess the point I'm trying to make is I don't want anyone listening to think you got to go to a therapist or you're doomed. I don't want anyone to think that. Therapists can help. Yeah, therapists can help if you get a good one, but they have to be trauma trained as well. We've had a couple of people on this show. You know, one lady, she's not even alive anymore, so I'll use her first name, Laura, came on here.
Yeah,
and it broke my heart. I wanted to get on a plane and go just punch her therapist because basically she's a survivor of sexual child abuse, and her therapist said, "How did you let that happen? You were this, you were that, you could have. Why didn't you? You know,
and we've gotten on the plane together and
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
You know,
I'd have been polite myself. Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, yes.
Oh, John is with us.
I
mean, I just
would have done it. Yes, you bet. You bet. You don't do that.
I wanted to go.
No.
Yeah, I just wanted to go punch the guy. And I felt for her, and I was like, "Baby, don't you listen to him?" And I think she had gotten, I think she got another a therapist, but you know, it was, you know, she had been beaten down. I mean, she goes to a therapist for help, and a therapist beats her up over it and says, "How did you let that happen?"
No,
you know, so if they're not trauma, if you're dealing with a survivor of child abuse. And you go, or if you're a survivor of child abuse, and you go to a therapist who is not trauma trained, you know, you're wasting your time, you know, because they have to be able to, understand, you know, what they're dealing, you know,
well, you
who they're dealing with.
Right there. You can see what happened. They triggered her. They triggered her instantly. As soon as she said,
"Oh my God!"
Look, I mean, that is instant. No.
Well, that's just
that
stupid,
totally
John.
Cool.
I've never heard anything so crazy
like that.
That's that's nuts. That's nuts, okay?
That's nuts to set somebody back a long way.
Right.
You know, we can hardly hear you. Where are you, honey? Are you in your car or something or what? What are you doing? Are you home?
No, I'm out in a park, but I'm away from everybody, so I know I got a little background noise, and I'm sorry for that.
Oh, okay.
But,
well, you're better now, though.
Yeah.
You're getting better.
No, I don't hear the background noise. We had an echo earlier, which is usually somebody has their computer on and their cell phone kind of close to each other. It causes an echo.
Yeah.
I've been on mute, too, on my phone, so I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe somebody else. I don't know. But, okay, the point is this. So, Tammy, this is a scary subject, okay?
Uh-huh.
We have to be really careful. And, you know, when someone, if we know someone is depressed, you do the best that you can to get them to get help. And if you can be, like, if they live close by. I talk to people way out in California or whatever, you know what I'm saying. I can't help them. I'm not right around the corner. But if they live close by, I have gone over at 2 o'clock in the morning because I'm awake anyway. And along with my friend Sandy, who has been on the show and told a story, and to that person's house. And we got her to the hospital. But how often does that happen? Okay. So it doesn't happen that often. Most of the time we get phone calls from people that are far away. Now, in the case of, I know who you're talking about, that was a stupid, stupid thing for that person to say that. I wouldn't even call that person a therapist. They're ignorant. And that's just ridiculous. I never heard of anything like that before, you know.
Yeah,
I've heard
some hard,
for God's sake. That's
hard
crazy
stories, but I think Laura's is the worst. I mean, that is one of the most horrific thing. And I just, you know, and you know, she was on the show. You know, she participated on the show until the time she passed away. And you know, she
was
just so.
Well, you were working with her because you were trying to get. At one point, she'd go up and down in the sense where she wanted to trail. Mm-hmm. Remember? And then maybe she wanted to host. And there's just no way. I knew that she wasn't going to make it that way.
Yep, that's the same one.
Yeah,
and she was such a sweet dear, and her story was so horrific, you know.
Yes.
She had just what she had gone through, and then to try to get help and reach out to a therapist and being told something like that, it just angered me.
Wow. That person,
but you know,
it's
Yeah, and it, you know, and it just, you know, it broke my heart for her. But, you know, there are, you know, therapists do work for some folks, especially if you get a trauma-trained one. You know, we've got our doctor. Oh, and John, what did you think of Dr. Romo?
What did I think about the what?
The Romo.
Dr. Romo, when you hosted last week. Jaime Romo.
What a night. What a night. I'll tell you what, that guy, I love him, man.
He's brilliant.
What? Is he? I mean, he's got these different ideas and stuff, and that's what I really like about him. He's unique. Very unique person. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
So he's actually doing a lot of long-term work, you know, and that's what we need more of these days is somebody thinking and setting a plan and having it work, you know, and actually putting it in the action. And that's what he's all about, you know. Absolutely.
Exactly. I knew you would enjoy that. Because I was sick that day. I was just run down.
Yeah, but I was talking with some other people the next day, probably for a good, I don't know, 2 hours over that one show. You know, just because it sent out such a strong message, you know, and that's what I think MASK is all about. And, you know, getting back on the depression thing, listen, you know, that's what MASK is all about, you know. And we're talking about these therapists and stuff. Now, listen, there's all kind of different ways of therapy. We all
that's
know
right.
that. You know, like for me, just to give you an example, you know, I have all my dogs. I play guitar. I go and find different places to get my thoughts together, and I do a lot of, you know, walking and, you know, things of that nature, but I also help a lot of people, okay? And that's what my therapy is these days, because I've reached the point where I have to, you know, I see too much hurt and too much pain where even the therapists are triggering them to ways where they don't want to be there because they think it's a waste of time. Now they have this a negative attitude toward it, and I don't blame them sometimes, you know, because hearing stories just like that, you know, and even if you don't come out and say that directly, some of them say it in different ways. You know, they're not getting to the areas that we pinpoint, you know, and I think that's the biggest difference with us is because we have so much experience at it with living
through
life.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons – Oh, I think we're all talking over each other. I'm sorry.
We're all talking here.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I'll just say this quickly.
I wanted to say this. Cause,
honey, listen to me. Okay. I have to go take medicine. Okay, hold on a second. I'll be back. I'll be right back.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll have this conversation with John and who's listening. I wanted to see what your feedback was with Dr. Romo because I just adore him. But if you don't, if just to give you a little bit about his background, if you don't know it, and he's our host. I think is it the second or third Thursday of every month. But he was abused in the Catholic Church. You know, his story is kind of similar to Bill's where he was sexually abused by men. And in the process, plus he had a horrific, and he had a horrific childhood, you know, with a lot of anguish and pain and regular abuse at home as well.
Yeah.
But he was an overachiever and he was very angry at first. But then he, you know, he pursued his education. Yeah, he pursued his education, and he's become a psychologist. And you know, he's a survivor. He's a psychologist. He's a hospice minister. So he knows what he's talking about when he deals with other people. He comes from experience.
Really
go ahead.
Touched me. When he was going to be that hospice minister, that tells me a lot about his heart and his drive. You know, and what his ambitions are in life. And like I said, you know, that's what it takes for someone that's reached a level like he has. Not only has he, you know, perceived as being a survivor, now he's a leader, he's a warrior. You know, he's setting positive examples every single day. And that's what this has to be all about. You know, and that's like when any time that, you know, we run into some negative issues, you know, we try to turn those things around and look at it from a different side. And that's basically what he's doing every day. He's showing it. You know, he's not just talking about it. He's actually doing action, you know. And that's why I bonded with him so much is because we have so much in common that way, you know. And I said, you know, when I spoke to him, it's like, you know what, it just put me in the overdrive. You know, it's like, okay, you know, I got somebody else over there that's taking care of stuff, and, you know, and basically the way it was that I said, you know, we have every part of the United States covered right now. You know, we have West Coast, right. South, North, East, West, everywhere. And just to know that people around this nation, you know, that are stepping up and making things happen that way means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It really,
cool
really
beans.
Means a lot to everybody because, hey, we have,
well,
you know.
Right. Well, if you wanted to, you know, I've got to come up with a new schedule, and I know that the folks that I added to the schedule, you know, I put on as trailers, and I know you host it for me, but next time if you want to begin hosting, I'll put you on the schedule, so just let me know on that. And if you wanted to look and see when Dr. Jaime is going to be on the show next, and if you wanted to host that show, I'll be your trailer.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
yeah.
we'll check the
because
schedule
really,
and see.
You know how it is that a lot of times we get into such deep subjects, we don't have enough time to really talk about everything. But when you have
Dr.
somebody
Jaime,
that has,
yeah.
What's that?
Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Jaime usually comes with a list of questions. Yeah, we got some background noise. He usually comes with a list of questions or, you know, what he wants to talk about. You know, he's prepared. You know, he before he gets on the show, he's prepared.
Yeah.
So I
well,
think
that's
amazing.
What I asked
but go
him,
ahead, John.
You know, and that's what I asked him because I knew he had been there before, and then looking at his history and what he's doing, you know, and now it's time, you know, he's one of these people that has different phases of our show, okay? Because, you know, we can't get it all in one show, you know? So I think it's crucial that we get this information out to people, regardless of how soon he's been on the show, you know, he can be a regular once a month. It's up to Bill. But my thing is that any time that we have education that's being provided by people that are up on it, and they're doing positive things so we can show and tell about it, then that's where we need to be, you know. Without that, you know, people don't know.
Right.
So, you know,
but Dr. Jaime,
you know,
I believe I think Dr. Jaime is the third Thursday of every month because he's on there once a month. The third Thursday of every month is always Dr. Jaime. So, just keep that in mind. But, yeah, like I said, the next time he's on there, you know, the third Thursday, that might be Thanksgiving, so that may or may not work. I don't know if he'll be on there then.
Well, look.
I'd have to look at the calendar.
I'm not home, and I usually write it on my schedule, but if you could, just always remind me the next time. Shoot me a text or something, and that'd be great. I'd really appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay. Carol, you had something that you wanted to add about Dr. Jaime as well, right?
Well, I've been on his show, or, you know, the show, a few times, that's it, okay? Because usually on Thursday I'm busy elsewhere, not just NASCAR. Okay?
Right.
And I like him. I said that before. I told John that once before. Because, number one, he's calm, and he allows for people to speak, and I like that. And he's a thinker, and I like people who are thinkers. You can tell it. You know, this man has he gives things a lot of thought, even before he answers, and I like that. And I feel like he's very well versed in what he says. We have a couple like that, Tammy. Sharon Higdon-Jones is wonderful, okay, also. I love being on, and I usually have her on a Tuesday. And even Michelle Bless. I mean, now that's a different type of thing. That's the chaplain. We talk about therapists, okay? There are some people that all of a sudden turn to the church if it's a good church, all right? Mm-hmm. And get help that way because people come from all walks of life a lot of times to go to church.
Sure.
And so there are at times, you know, counselors there, which is what saved my life, okay, are those counselors. They were very smart people, and they knew just how to work with me. So there's all different kinds of things. I want to say something here about when it comes to, if you don't mind, when it comes to the ACE study. I want to talk about that a little bit more because people were asking me about that. They called me, for God's sake. That's ACE. That's the ACE study. And it goes by Well, that's it's psychiatric, but what it does is they came up with that, and it's been around for years now. But what the ACE study does, it has 10 things on it, okay? Were you sexually abused? I'll just use that, okay, as one thing. Was there fighting in your home? Just 10 very simple, easy things. And what they have here, and I'm going to repeat this because someone asked me to, the ACE score of 6 or more have a shorter lifespan. If you answer 6 or more, you know, say you have people that live to be 90 in your family. I have that on my mother's side. God forbid. But anyway, the point is, maybe I'll die at 75 or something, or you know what I'm saying? It takes away from your lifespan, supposedly, because we develop all kinds of medical problems, heart problems, stomach problems, all kinds of stuff, if we're being terribly abused at home, all right? Even the average is 3.5 or 4 is still considered to be high. And I want people to hear that because they've asked me this. ACE covers neglect, household, dysfunctional physical or mental illnesses, incarceration. Mine was a 9, Tammy, because I stopped at incarceration because no one went to jail in my family. They should have, but they didn't. So I came out a 9. And then physical, emotional, sexual neglect, yes, it can shorten. It can shorten as far as 20 years. I find that outrageous, especially when I'm at my age. I don't want to hear about it. You know what I'm saying? But anyone with a score of 4 or more, the risk of disease, here it is right here in front of me, social and emotional problems, chronic pulmonary lung disease, that I didn't understand, increases 390%. How can they come up with a 390%? I said 39% the other night, but I didn't have my glasses on. All right, hepatitis, 240%. Why? I don't get it. Okay, depression, here we go, depression, 460%. Suicide, 1,220%, and that would mean 6 out of 20 people. 6 out of 20 people, there's your stat right there. And this comes from the hospitals and everything. And this is actually the ACE study, all right? So that's even higher up than that. But just picture that. 6 out of 20 people who are depressed attempt or actually go through and you know, they commit suicide. So depression is a very, very big thing. And I was depressed, too, for many times in my life, many, many, many times. Today, I'm not depressed anymore. And actually, I'm slap happy, if anything. You know me. You know how I am. Because I've come to the realization that all the things that happened in the past, all the things, no matter what they were, no matter how severe they were, by whom did it, and there were many, 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 I can't change that. I can't stop it. I can't change it. It's done. Does it mean that I'm over it? No. But what I can do, I've learned in the years, is to change myself. So I try to get people to look at themselves. I mean, there was a time when you've heard the saying, I'm sure, you didn't smell the coffee or you walked outside, you didn't see the beauty of the changes of seasons, you know, depending on where you live. I have changes of seasons where I am, okay? So, and I happen to like that. I love the fall. I love to see the beautiful colors of the leaves. I happen to be one of those people. Winter doesn't bother me. And of course, summer is nice. Less bills, right? That's a good thing. Spring, we hardly have spring anymore. It seems like you go from winter into summer pretty fast. You have maybe a little bit of spring. But I like those seasonal changes. And if you can get out and do more and get involved with more things, as long as we don't have to wear masks and the places are closed down, don't get me started there. But, you know, the point is, you know, if we can start doing things, even little things, to make us happy, Okay, and someone asked me, well, what would you do? Well, I like to shop too much. That's a problem. So I've cut back on that. Anyway, a lot of the shelves are starting to get empty, aren't they? So you see, that can make a person feel depressed. For God's sake, my poor cat might not have cat food in a month. What am I supposed to give her? Okay?
Right.
Yeah, they mentioned that on the news. So, but what I try to do, let me finish this sentence, mm-hmm. that'll make more sense. What I try to do is tell people to make little goals and find things. If you're a reader, buy more books. That's not expensive. It doesn't have to be. Watch things on TV instead of things that might be a sad story. Find funny stories. You know, I don't know what kind of cable system people have. I know what I have. I have, I don't know how many channels. It's ridiculous. So what I do is I, you know, tend to try to make things. Sometimes, though, Tammy, you and I both know this, and this is where the danger mm-hmm. lies. We are so depressed that we even can't laugh. And that's when there's a terrible, terrible problem. And, you know, whether it be with children or whether it be with adults, that person needs to get some kind of help somewhere, all right? Because, So when it comes to children, I just want to get, because we have these people on our show, and I always use this number because I've called them. If you know of a child being abused, do call the 1-800-4-A-CHILD number. You will not get a machine. You will get a live counselor. It might take a minute or two. You might hear music playing, but that means they're on the phone because people are calling, Tammy. It's just that there's so mm-hmm. much, the volume is so large, that sometimes you might have to wait, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. Don't hang up or call back, all right? Do that maybe, you know, in a couple minutes if you must. But
right.
the point is there's someone there and they're a trained counselor. So, again, that's 1-800-4-CHILD, and that is through Child Help. And that's one of the groups mm-hmm. that we deal with. That's their number to call.
Things I want to make comments, and then I want to give John a chance to talk as well. But first thing is that I live in South Florida, so I like the fall too. But our fall is swimming weather.
Right.
So you know it's palm trees and swimming weather. But you know, and I also live in South Florida, so we have, in my opinion, the best governor in the country, DeSantis, and we don't have mask mandates, and we don't have, we're opening back up, and you know, we don't have shot mandates. You know, he's fighting against that, so it's a little bit of a different world where I live because you know our state is open. I could only imagine how depressing it could be when you're up, you know, when you're up north and it's cloudy all the time and you can't go anywhere and it's cold and, you know, mm-hmm. if you do go somewhere, you know, everybody's shut up. So I'm fortunate in that aspect, but it is a real issue for a lot of people who are in closed states that, mm-hmm. you know, can't even get out, can't go shop, can't go to the restaurant, you know, mm-hmm. So that adds to it. But I forgot what I was even going to say. I had a point I was going to make. But, you know, I appreciate you sharing that number. But, you know, depression, too. I think this theme, I mean, we've only got 15 minutes left, so obviously the theme of tonight is how do we deal with depression?
Yes.
And what advice can we give people who are listening, and how can we help? And I guess,
right.
you know, the theme we have is, you know, if I understand, you know, be there. I loved what Bill said, you know, he just let them talk. And I think, John, you kind of elaborated on some of that as well. And Carol has given some good advice on, you know, reaching out to a therapy if you can find a good one. You know, reach out to a support system or, you know, get with some counseling.
The program.
And counseling
can
have.
Yeah,
program, some kind of program. And, you know, we know we have a lot here at NASCA. And my theme, and I stick to it, is for anyone who's listening, please give yourself a break. Learn to love yourself. Yes, we did endure child abuse. Yes, we did have that. Yes, a lot of us, most of us, had people telling us we were no good and worthless. We don't have to accept that.
learn to rebuke that. You know, we are worthy. We may be a broken, but we are worthy of love. We deserve love. We deserve to love ourselves. We deserve, you know, we're people too. We count. You know, it doesn't matter what you've gone through. You count. You know, you matter. And that's, you know, I want to, and it's not easy. I mean, because I can remember getting depressed and, you know, crawling up in the bed in a fetal position for longer than I care to even share. Now, you know, I will crawl up in a fetal position and cry to myself, you know, and feel sorry for myself because I'm so alone. You know, I often feel unlovable. You know, even to this day, a lot of times I feel unlovable. But I am lovable. You know, I am worthy of love. If by nobody else, myself. Because we're with ourselves 24/7. If you hate mm-hmm. yourself and you hate your life and you hate your circumstances, you're in it 24/7. You're going to deal with it all day long while you're conscious, and you're going to dream about it when you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, give yourself a break. That's my theme. John, I wanted to, and I'll go back to Carol after that. John, what are your thoughts?
Yes. First of all, I want to thank you all for having me tonight. This is a great subject to talk about, and I apologize for the background noise. But anyway, you know, each person is different. And when somebody reaches out, you know, we have to be there for them no matter what. And that's what I think NASCA is so good about. You know, anytime somebody calls, I return their call or answer the phone. Usually if I don't recognize the number, they will get a phone call back from me, like ASAP, you know. Mm-hmm. So I look at it as an emergency, you know, and that's the way I handle every situation. Because you really don't know how deep a depression this person is. And some of them, they have reached the brink of not knowing what to do, where to go, who to talk to. And when somebody's actually there and has been through the same or close to the same things that they have, it means a lot to them that they actually get that phone call, you know. But here's the thing, is that they have to pick the phone up, okay. And I think that's the one thing that I encourage more than anybody, because a lot of times when they make that step to, you know, call in, okay, and we can give them that number, you know, on another night just to make sure that they have it. Log it in your phone, you know, because you're going to get that same thing you're looking for, you know, at least for that night. And a lot of times what I've seen is, and this is the most beautiful thing about NASCA, is that people have called me the next day and told me that they woke up feeling as a brand new person, you know, mm-hmm. because they had that opportunity. And that's what NASCA provides, you know. It's that platform. It's that area of knowing that you're around the same people that things have happened to. And we know what to say and do, you know, for you. And this is nothing to play with, you know. Here's the thing, is that you know that the average age of people coming forward is like 52 years old, okay? And do you know that over the past, I'd say, 3 to 4 months, I've had more people come forward in their 30s, you know? And if you look back on some of the tapes and some of the shows I've done, I've always been concerned about that age group. Because a lot of times, and Carol, you know this, is that they haven't reached what I would call PTSD yet, you know, because it does set in. They're realizing that something isn't right. Otherwise, they wouldn't be, you know, reaching out. So that's the main thing, is that I want people out there to listen tonight, is that all it takes is one phone call, and we'll help you. You know, we will help you find, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel that you've been stuck in, you know, forever. And you're going to remain stuck there unless you do that. There's no question about it, you know. So I want everybody, you know, to know that even if you know somebody that's having an issue and they're scared to reach out, hey, you know, you can remain anonymous, okay? You don't have to come out with your name, but at least you're reaching out, you know, and that's the most important thing about it, is you have to start somewhere. And being depressed in life, it'll hurt you in so many ways, including physical. You know, that's one of the things that I was wanting to get to. I know we're short on time, but when you are depressed, when you're down, and you're curling up in that bed, and you know, things can go really bad quick. You know, physical issues kick in because any type of pain, and you know that as a survivor and or abuse victim, that you're going to experience a lot of pain coming through your central nervous system.
That's
fibromyalgia, you know, you have disc diseases, nerve problems, you know, and when you're depressed, look, that pain level and your blood pressure is going to be out the roof, you know. So, you know, you have to think about what do you want to do in your life? Are you ready to make that move? You know, and I think a lot of people at this time, this is our time. This is your time. So pick that phone up, you know, and make the call. We're waiting, you know, to change your life. And that's what we do. That's what I think we do at NASA. We save lives here. And this is what it's all about. Okay?
Well, we certainly do help a lot of people. I receive tons of email. I have to clean my email out again. I get too many emails where people, you know, they speak about NASCA, and they say, well, like you said, John, you know, we're so happy that you're there. What a wonderful organization. I've seen that so many times online, and I guess you have too, sure. And it's because we do care, because we have been there. Look, we don't get paid. We're a 501c3, okay, nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And no one even, you know, a lot of times we don't get the donations that we need to even. I have tons of paperwork because my daughter, who works in the magazines, she works with magazines. She's got a wonderful job. Thank God my kids turned out all right. But anyway, the point is she made a lot of copies for me, which I'm handing out as I go out, and it has our logo right on top, and it's how to spot child abuse, hoping that people will make that phone call, and also hoping that if it's happening right in front of you, for God's sake, you call the cops. We need our police. Get it straight. Now, what I want to say here, too, because we are coming to the end of the show, I have all kinds of notes and things that I take because I do a tremendous amount of study myself on my own, and I've been trained in the past, too. So I put it all together. But before the COVID really, really set in, as far as we knew it to be setting in, okay, there were 2,328 people a day who killed themselves. Now, I have friends that work in the ER rooms and so forth. And since that time of that I wrote down, it is almost doubling because, again, John, the age bracket, kids, because they're schooled at home, their parents are nasty to them because they don't know how to be teachers, they're under too much stress, maybe that's where their abusers are. That's why the younger generation are committing suicide. And you see that very heavily in the 13 and 14-year-old bracket there, too. But it starts as young as 12, which still blows me away. And that came from the Mayo Clinic. I go to all different types of sites, and I get all different types of information. That was one. So you see, we live in a depressed society right now. And depression's been around forever, just like life has been around forever. But as life goes by, if we don't learn to love ourselves, like Tammy says, if we don't learn to help other people and be a good person, if we don't work more in our communities and help people, they say that every fourth or fifth house, it was every seven, now it's back to five or four, there's some kind of abuse going on. It can be with the children, or with the spouse and the children. For God's sake, make a phone call. Who do you call? If it's bad enough, you call the police. You bet. You call. Because you're that hero to those children, especially. And if you're in a domestic violence situation, get out of it.
Okay?
I walk that walk. And it just doesn't pay. It doesn't pay.
Right.
So that's what I have to say on that.
Well, I appreciate that, Carol. That's a lot to share with us, so thank you very much for your thoughts. We are starting to wrap up the show. We've got about 5 minutes left, So I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to make some final thoughts. And Carol, let's go to John. John, if you'd like to make some final thoughts, because we know a lot of people stream in. So if you wanted to give a final message, what would you say to our folks?
Yeah. Well, you know, the biggest thing, too, is that I want people to really absorb what we're explaining to them tonight and telling them, because we're here for you. And I want you to pick that phone up. And also, too, you know, donations are so important. You know, we need that. We need that to make sure that we can survive and be out here for you all. And we continue to do that. But please help NASCA. And my phone is always available. Emails out there. Everybody knows how to get in touch with me. If you need me for anything, I'm always here, okay?
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you, John. Carol, how about you?
Okay, I'll just say it quickly. If you see something, say something. We have to become a society more that we do that, okay? And remember, life is short. And I remember when I was John's age. I know how old you are. I remember. And,
55.
That seemed like yesterday, honey. I've got news for you, all right? I don't want to depress you or anything, but that seemed like yesterday,
that's
all right?
Okay. Yeah.
That's all right. I love to laugh. Laughter is a good thing for the
yes,
soul.
Yes, it is. Open
and
that
that could be
right.
Helpful, too. That's why I try to make people laugh before I get off the phone. So, all right, listen to me. You know, during these times of uncertainty, try to find some joy with something. And I know it's hard because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, all right? We don't know. So live day by day. And during the course of the day, try to do something that's, you know, you find pleasing to yourself, whether it be going for a walk, going jogging, some people, whatever it is, do it if you can. And also, too, you find pleasure and it strengthens you, we as survivors, to help other people. If you know of someone who needs help or an organization that needs help, whatever it is, then you find yourself in that position to go out and be willing to help. Because we learn from it, too, and it strengthens us as survivors. So that's what I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Let's see. Let me look at the – I went to the wrong one. Hold on, guys.
I don't know what I did to close my studio on my system. But anyway, I appreciate y'all's thoughts on that. And my thought to people – there it is. Okay, my thoughts to people who are listening is the same theme that I've had all night. Learn to love yourself. Give yourself a break. You know, like Carol said, you know, I was talking to a guy last night. You know, I didn't go into the gory details, but I told him that, you know, I was involved in a 501c3, and I told him the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And a lot of times that's all you need to say. And you look for the response. They either lean forward or say good for you, or they get the hell away from you. I've seen that time and time again. Sometimes they'll get the hell away from me and then come back. But you know, the thing is we're there to help people grow, and it is an investment. And you know, we are just as much worthy as anybody else. And there's a lot of us, and like I told this guy, that's what I was going to say, I told this guy, I said, there's more of us out here than you think, you know. Everybody doesn't wear it, you know, on their sleeves like we do. I mean, we're advocates.
Yeah.
So it's a part of our, I just got the 90-second mark. It's part of our verbiage, but it is not everyday verbiage. But people who, you know, just love yourself, give yourself a break.
Right.
And also, real quick, if I can, I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to Covington, Louisiana, the beginning of next week, because the trial of Jack Strain, who used to be the sheriff here, is under trial, you know, for multiple sex crimes with children, going back to the 70s. So, we're getting ready to put him away, you know. So I'm going to fill y'all in with that, but I'm going to be representing. Yep.
Okay, cool. I just got the 60-second mark, and I wanted to say really quickly, our special guest tomorrow night is Shirley Davis, and I know Carol hosts the Friday night show. So, Carol, I know you'll have an amazing show, and thank you both for all you do.
Thank you for calling in, because our guest speaker, you know, didn't show for whatever reason, but it was a good show. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to, thank you both very, very much. And I'm going to end the show by saying God bless the children of the world and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Good night, everybody. Have a good evening.
Good night, Jamie.
Good night.